since I started last week with an article, I ended up finding another one. So, article was found in a book that I'll mention in just a moment. Man dies at 91, waiting on the will of God. Walter Houston, described by family members as a devoted Christian, died Monday after waiting 70 years for God to give him a clear direction about what to do with his life. He hung around the house and prayed a lot, but just never got that confirmation, his wife Ruby said. Sometimes he thought he heard God's voice, but then he wouldn't be sure, and he'd start the process all over again. Houston, she says, never really figured out what his life was about, but felt content to pray continuously about what he might do for the Lord. Whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back because he didn't want to disappoint God or go against him in any way, Ruby says. He was very sensitive to and always remained in God's will. That was primary to him. Friends say they liked Walter, though he seemed not to capitalize on his talents. Walter had a number of skills he never got around to using, says a longtime friend, Timothy Burns. He worked very well with wood and had a storyteller side to him, too. I always told him, take a risk, try something new if you're not happy. But he was too afraid of letting the Lord down. To his credit, they say Houston, who worked mostly as a handyman, was able to pay off his mortgage on the couple's modest home. This is another one of those made-up stories that was found in Lark News, in this book that Devin gave me this last week. I had gone into his office because I was struggling with what I wanted to say this week, because I have always been the person who struggles knowing what God wants for me. I feel the Spirit move at times, and I think I know what I'm supposed to do. It could be talk to someone that I'm uncomfortable talking with. It could be sharing something. It could be doing something. It could simply even just be in the moment. But I always second-guess myself. I always let fear and doubt stop me sometimes from moving forward. And so I wanted to make sure I ended the series as we wrap it up with, at the end of the day, you have to do something. You can't just sit around waiting. That the idea of working with the Spirit is action, that there has to be a part of you that's going forward and moving. And so when I'm telling them, he's oh, I've got the perfect book for you. And I said, oh, great. It's called Just Do Something. Now, that alone is a great title, but if you get in a little closer, it says, Just Do Something, a liberating approach to finding God's will, or how to make a decision without dreams, visions, fleeces, impressions, open doors, random Bible verses, casting lots, liver shivers, writing in the sky, etc. And I loved that title. That alone was like worth it, everything. And it's a small book, and so I read multiple chapters, and I loved basically the point that the author is trying to make is it's great to wait in the Spirit and make sure you're in step with the Spirit, but at the end of the day, you still need to do something. And that's where we pick up in Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, Samuel didn't know I was going to do this, but Samuel, I need you up here. This is one of those moments where you think of something in the spot, and you're like, well, I hope him and the camera guy are ready. So, all right, you ready? Walk. Walk. No, not that way. Walk. No, not that way. Walk. Nope, not that way. Walk. Oh, nope, not that way. Walk. Okay, so a lot of us feel like the Holy Spirit works like that. Like that was my case. I thought when the Holy Spirit said walk, that I'd have these moments where I'd start walking one way and I'd get pulled back. Instead, what would happen is that the Holy Spirit just simply says, walk, walk. All right, you can go back to your seat. You are coming back in a minute, though, so just know that. So this word for walk is an interesting word. It really does mean to walk around. And so this idea is that it's not a specific direction necessarily. It's this idea that you can move and walk with the Spirit. You don't have to be so worried that there's a direction you need to go, that there's a certain way. And listen, I dealt with that so many times with talking with seniors. Nothing like graduating high school to make you feel like you have to have everything figured out, right? You remember those moments. I've got to find the perfect school, to find the perfect job so I can marry the perfect person. And we get stuck on this. And if I do something wrong, what if that was it? What if that was the one? And so I quickly threw that out for my seniors and students and would say, listen, God's open to almost anything. All he wants to do is walk with you. And so whether you go this way or that, that's fine, as long as you're taking God with you. And that's what I love about Galatians. Galatians says, walk by the Spirit. It doesn't matter which way you're going. It says, take the Spirit with you wherever you're going. The one distinction he makes is if it's going to be by the flesh or the Spirit. And he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And I find this interesting. These are the results of what happens when you give in to desire. You've already been tempted. You're having the thoughts. It's not that. He goes, this is the outcome if you let this happen. The outcome is sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. The point he's saying is, he's saying, listen, it doesn't matter which way you go, but if you go on your own, this is where it ends. It ends not inheriting the kingdom. The list is long, I think, because Paul wanted to understand, yeah, you might not end up in this one, you might not end up here, but ultimately all these lead to the point that you're not a part of my kingdom if you don't walk in the Spirit with me. That's why this is important. And he says, as we talked about last week, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. The fruit of walking with the Spirit is everything we want, right? Like, that's what I hear all the time, is I just wish I had a little bit more peace, or I wish I felt God close to me. I wish I felt that warm love. Who doesn't want joy in their life? Who doesn't wish that they were more faithful, kind, good? And it's simply being in step with the Spirit. I love how Ephesians summarizes what we've been talking about like this. It says, don't grieve the Spirit. It says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. The choice comes is, will you step with the Spirit? And Galatians wraps it up like this by saying, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. All right, Simon, this is where I need you up here again. I know, back and forth, it's great. All right, so this is the interesting thing I learned this week. So, in verse 16 it says, walk by the Spirit. And here it says, in step with the Spirit, and those are two different words for walking. The first one is that idea that we talked about, that Samuel could go any way he wants. The Spirit is like, hey, let's just walk together wherever you want to go. The next one it says is, but once you've chosen a path, stay in step with the Spirit. And so as you step, making sure that you're going the way the Spirit is going. Ooh, look at that, you even slowed down when I slowed down. It's that idea of feeling those nudges that as the Spirit says, hey, I love that we're going this way. I love that you chose this way, but we're going to go a little bit more this way. Or we're going to go a little bit more this way. Thank you, Samuel. You're able to follow. It's that idea of, actually that word in step is that idea of someone marching, which works really well for me. I did marching band for 4 years. And that idea of making sure you use that peripheral, that you're always lined up beside that next person. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, in the Spirit, it doesn't matter which way you go, but once you have chosen, you make sure you're lined up with where you're going. That you've always got the Spirit in your eye, watching where you're going. I think that's important. And it's great because once you have that, you're clear to do it. Whatever you have. The gifts that you've been given, that's another thing that people have talked about. I've enjoyed so much hearing some of our stories about the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he's given us. I love what it says about these gifts in 1 Corinthians. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And I love this. I want to apply this not just to gifts, but to everything. The one thing I have heard more than anything else is that the Spirit works in so many different ways. That for some of you, you needed an in-your-face moment of miraculous for God to slap you across the face and get your attention. For others of us, we haven't needed that big moment, but it's been the subtle whispers through scripture and prayer over decades that we have felt close to God. We've seen God show up in the little things, in the big things. We've experienced God in worship. And man, today was one of those days I could have just sat back down because I have felt it, because worship is where I needed it to be today. But this is what I love. For some of you, it didn't hit. And that's okay. For you, maybe it is this message. Maybe it was the communion talk. Maybe it's the talk you're going to have in a few minutes, fellowshipping with somebody else or in our intergenerational class. Maybe it'll be listening to Joy FM on the way home. That's what I love about how this works, is that the Spirit comes to us in so many forms. Because as long as we're trying to stay in step with the Spirit, he meets us where we're at. That's the beauty and joy of it. But here's what I want you to hear. That as we walk with the Spirit, we are called to pay attention. The Spirit has given you gifts. The Spirit has put you on a path. Now that you're on this path, you are supposed to stay in step with him. And so you pay attention to those moments, those things. I love how Paul talks to Timothy, and I didn't even realize it until recently. He actually says it in both his letters to Timothy, once in a positive way and once in a negative way. The first time, the one I want to talk about is the second time. In 2 Timothy, he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. He says, listen, when we prayed over you, when we laid our hands on you, when we sent you off and to let you be the leader you are, you were given gifts. You were told the gifts that you have. Now's the time to lean into those. Don't just sit around doing nothing. It's time to take what you've been given. And the truth is, some of this was probably gifts that he already had, talents he already had, that now with the Spirit's help, they were beyond measure. And he's able to do more with it. And so he says, hey, don't forget to grow in those things. Lean into it. But in the earlier letter, this is how he said it. He says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through the prophecies spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. And another version says, do not resist the Spirit and his gifts. You see, it's just as true that you can slowly start to not listen. And that's the thing I want to make sure you hear. If you've heard anything in these few weeks of the Holy Spirit, is that the cautionary tale to not listen. Timothy is being told here to not neglect the Spirit's gifts that he's been given. It goes even further, I'd say, to don't resist when the Spirit is trying to tell you something. Because you see, eventually the time comes where you can stand in a crowd listening to a man tell you the most wonderful story about our loving Savior, hearing all the things you've heard before, and your response is to kill the person. In Acts 7, as they're about to stone Stephen, they dragged him before the court. He's literally retells the story of the Torah, of the law, that he's being told that he's messing up, and yet he's the one that, as he speaks the words from Genesis into Exodus throughout the rest of the Torah, it's this fascinating moment, because as he retells the story, he changes just enough little things that you can't help if you're looking to hear Christ being brought up in it. The same truth that they were supposed to know, he's trying to show them in this moment, and they're not hearing it, and their thought is violence. Talk about that fruit that we're talking about. One without the Spirit leads to harshness, anger, and violence. The other one is the fruit of the man who, as they stone him, asks God to forgive them. But he tells them this as he wraps up. He says, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. We can harden our hearts to the Holy Spirit. We can make it where we stop hearing the Spirit. I think that's what happened to Pharaoh when his heart was hardened in Exodus. I think that's what happened to Saul with the more and more that he pushed away from God. I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said these words. But anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. This is the sin with eternal consequences. I think he was saying, listen, the Spirit is my gift to you, my gift that is your seal of approval, the truth that I am coming back for you to take that Spirit and refuse it, is to refuse the grace you've been given. And I see that so much in some people. And it scares me sometimes when I see someone who claims to know Jesus, but they refuse to repent from what they're doing. When they refuse to grow. I've known men that I looked up to, do I think it's this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? No. But what I do believe is that it's a dangerous thing to resist the Spirit when God is clearly calling us to grow, and a man tells me, I don't need to learn anymore. I know enough. I don't need these conferences or to go to class because I know what I need. I had a man once tell me, I read the Bible once. Do I really need to read it again? And I was like, I was caught off guard in that moment. Maybe for some of us, we're resisting the Spirit because we refuse to receive the grace that He's already offered. To enjoy the forgiveness, as Eric talked about last week, and just embrace that forgiveness. Maybe that's how you're resisting the Spirit. You're not being willing to say, you're right, you are a sinner. And that's okay, because God loves you. Or maybe you're not showing forgiveness yourself that you've been given. I think that's why it's so important to make sure we're listening for the Spirit. To see how God is moving through our lives in the things that both we do and others around us. I think that's why it's important to have a faith community. I think that's why small groups are so important, to have a group small enough to hold you accountable, to let you say the things you're feeling and also be told when maybe you aren't listening. Because I think the best thing we have is the Spirit. And so I go back to what I said a couple weeks ago, I believe. It's, if you've gotten anything out of this series, I hope that it's that you are more open to the Spirit. Whether it's just simply saying, no longer am I going to call things luck and coincidence, I'm going to see what maybe God was doing in that moment, or maybe it's to really, truly open yourself up and try something that pushes you out of your comfort zone. I've been asked about multiple times what books I've been reading about this, and so I wanted to throw these up real quick as I wrap up. Praise Team, you can come back to the stage. These are the two books, Scott McKnight's book, Open to the Spirit, and Tyler Statton's book, The Familiar Stranger. Both wonderful books, and if you want to know more, I think Jeff McGlon might still have 7 books in his backpack on the Holy Spirit. We were talking about that a few days ago. But I want to leave you with this, these two verses. The first one is this. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. And this is the words of Isaiah speaking about the Lord. But I want to remind you that this is the same Spirit that Jesus had go on him that he said he now gives to us. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. May you know that the Spirit is always with you.